Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and please rate and review the show. And, of course, you can find all of our programming, CannabisRadio.com. And we're going to go ahead and take our microphones out to Macon County, Illinois, which is, if you're looking for the area and want to get a little idea of, you know, proximity to other big cities, Decatur is the most prominent city in Macon County. Then you have to the east, Indianapolis, Indiana, to the southwest, St. Louis, and to the west, Kansas City. So if you think about where it's at there, and a new dispensary being opened up in the space that is been brought in late last year, and my guest here opened a new dispensary in Macon County to where it's becoming a prominent hub for individuals in the greater Decatur, Illinois vicinity who are keen on exploring cannabis offerings. And I'm here with the COO of Indus 365 and also the one of the co-owners of Mystic Greens, Shankar Ramakrishnan. Shankar, thanks for being on with us.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
A lot to go within there. Now, when I've been looking across and I'm looking for information, number one, when I try to look for information on yourself and things in Illinois, you know, I love the fact we always have these particular publications that like to go ahead and drop in their, you know, the customary paywalls before I can get into the stories to find out about them. Well, that's one thing, but otherwise, that's me on my rant for the day. But what is it about the market in Macon County in Illinois that is really of a state like Illinois that has been pretty prominent in the cannabis industry, medical and adult use for a while now? What is it about this? Do you feel like that Macon County before coming in was an underserved county, or underserved area?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, our strategy was, well, it's, as you know, the history of Illinois, the whole licensing thing, right, started in 2019. You know, they had a pause due to COVID, all this stuff, and then they went through litigation because some of the folks didn't like the way the state did the lottery system, all this stuff. So it's mostly a lottery system. We applied for 5 regions. That's how they broke it down in the beginning, you know. So we luckily we won 1 region, which is a Macon County region. And actually there's 3 licenses allocated for that particular region, and we won 1 of those. So the other 2, I guess they never decided to open or not. I don't know what's going on. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, we kind of, I wouldn't say started in Macon County. We had no choice. We won 1 and then we went with Macon County. So the beautiful thing about Macon County is, like you said, you're right? Decatur is one of the biggest city there, you know, in terms of proximity and kind of awareness. And the city of Decatur decided not to allow cannabis. So you know how this goes, right? So
yeah,
even though the state says yes, you still need to go to the local county board or the city board, whatever, right, to get their blessing. And if they say no, they say no. That's it. You know, we cannot open. That's the end of it. So unfortunately, Decatur said no, which is one of the biggest cities, roughly 78,000 population. That's last time I checked. And then there's a little town called Harristown right inside Macon or Decatur. It's kind of like outskirts. It's its own city. It's basically has two to three streets. That's where it is. Somehow we got lucky, and then we convinced Harristown to go with us, and that's kind of the history. So we started construction in January of last year, actually. It's a ground-up construction. We bought the land because, like I said, it's a small town. There's if it's a Decatur, it's a different story. Would have bought an existing property, but they said no. So we went to Harristown. They kind of welcomed us. We bought the land, built it all up. So it's a record construction time. We opened in June, July time. Actually, July. We did the soft opening end of July. And August 1st, we are, you know, up and running. So it's pretty much almost 6 months running with no issues, and we're happy with it.
Now, I want to ask about the process, because it's the first time I'm going to talk about what is being used. And I know realizing this is not just Illinois, but there are other states that are instituting this social equity lottery system. Now, we've talked extensively about New York and New Jersey and the issues they have in terms of the licensing process all the way up to, well, okay, for instance, I have somebody I'm going to be talking to a little bit later on today for another program about the New York social equity system, because he just went through an entire process of trying to open up and getting a second license for another dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
Having to open up a pop-up dispensary, temporary facility, then go through inspection, then go through months later being able to go ahead and restart the business in a permanent facility. And, you know, New York State initially putting up a $210 million fund, but it is a fund that you have to pay a 12 to 13% interest rate on when you have to go and pay back for that loan. And then you're going on and, you know, you have to, there's a part where, I mean, really, it's not even so much social equity as it is this. But in this case here, first of all, there was House Bill 1443 that back in July or August last year, they instituted where they would create 110 social equity dispensary licenses on top of the 75 that were awarded to top scoring tied applicants via lottery. And they would go through the process. And also in this, they put in here, and I want to just give this for the audience out here just to get a really some context. So some of the qualifying parts they have to be is that they have to be, have lived in an area that's proportionally impacted by the war on drugs for 10 years, or has an eligible cannabis related conviction, or has a family member with such a conviction. And then location requirements will be modified, set forth in the Cannabis Act, which would be allowing one qualifying or social justice, equity justice involved lottery winner to locate their site within 1,500 square feet of an early approval adult use site, removing the requirement from the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation to inspect the site prior to authorizing build out. And there were three lotteries, blind lotteries, they said, automated through a computer program, run through multiple quality assurance checks before final results are delivered to the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. And they would designate five medical licenses available for issuance to social equity applicants only. Shankar, this is confusing, and this is a lot of fiery hoops to go ahead and jump through to get to this process. So you got to this, and 6 months, that's the good part. I mean, right, obviously you're looking at the right side of this, because you're like saying, oh, 6 months, no problems, we're moving along. But the process to get here sounds magnifying.
No, you're spot on. It's confusing, and it's like I said, it's not for the faint of the heart. You know that I can say. So, you know, we are not backed up by huge, MSOs or corporations, right? So the way the strategy, I don't know, if you follow the industry, right? The way these guys do with the big guys, I call them, which own multi-state operators. So what they do is, they go in and buy their existing medical dispensary. So most of the states, I would say at least 60 to 70% of the states have some kind of medical dispensary program, right? It's only for medical patients. So you got to get that card. Then you can go buy your cannabis, showing your medical card that you have a condition, that you need cannabis to, work with the condition. So what these guys do is they go and buy these mom and pop shops 2-5 years ahead of time, and kind of, whatever the price that would be. So they just sit on it, all right? They let the existing owners or whatever run with it, or these guys will hire somebody to run it. So all these rules, what they do is whenever they, let's say, for example, Ohio just passed, meaning like they said they got a green light, right? Okay, we're going to go allow rec, all right? But it looks like they're going to follow very similar to Illinois. So what they said is same thing as Illinois did, right? Existing medical cannabis guys are grandfathered, meaning if you're a medical guy, you can go to rec the day they said green light, meaning when the state, the legislation passed, the rules all said, those guys are grandfathered already. So if you think about it, just for Illinois, right? So they had a 2 to 3 years of monopoly or head start while all these new guys are trying to go through the hoops, get the real estate up and running, build out, inspection, all this stuff. You know, this is insane. So that's one thing. And then the to answer your main question, it is a lot of work. I mean, I'm an engineer by trade. I have a master's degree, so I kind of understand writing, you know, papers and application documents, communication. And then my business partner, he's also an engineer as well. And then luckily, on the social equity side, we have a great partner. She's a veteran, and she's very smart and knowledgeable as well. So you need to have a great team. That's no doubt. If you don't have a great team, it's forget it. You know, you're going to apply. And then after that, you're going to be like, don't know what to do because there's so many things. Even after we open, just to let you know, we the state watches us through camera access, right? So there's cameras everywhere. State has the camera access. They can watch anytime they want. And it's all, everything needs to be counted for. Inventory is going to be a headache. So they come in and pop an inspection. They'll ask us to count everything. So literally there's zero room for error. That's how it needs to be run. I'm not sure you're kind of aware of a Walgreens or any pharmacy setting. So they got to go through inspections too, right? Because the painkillers and the kind of prescription drugs, the same thing, but multiply that by, 100. So that's how intense it is, even if you open it.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with the COO of Indus 365 and also one of the co-owners of Mystic Greens, Shankar Ramakrishnan. Now, I got to ask about, because you were able to make it through. I mean, obviously, there's a thing to be said about being able to, I wouldn't even call it winning the lottery here, even in that pun. Because of the amount of, when you think about it, this is going back like 4 years that you've had adult use now legal in the state of Illinois. At the moment, there are 177 adult use marijuana cannabis retailers, 67 social equity. And then we're learning as well, and this is from MJ Biz Daily, they actually reported this earlier this month, that 133 applicants selected in the 2022 social equity lotteries, 2022, are still in the process of receiving their full dispensary licenses from the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. Still waiting. 55 applicants were selected in July, and that you were one of those 55, finally getting to go through. But you're telling me that of them have still not gotten their licenses yet.
Yeah, no. It's not the way that I understand. So it's not that they need. So the way it works is, right, so they call it conditional license. So that's what everybody has, the one in the article. So 122 guys, they have a green light saying from the department saying, hey, you won the lottery or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So you got it. So now go build it out. So that's where they're waiting. So what happens is, You're spot on, right? It needs money. It's not cheap. So even if you're doing a build out, I'm just giving you an example, right? Just your camera system alone, the way the state wants, costs $300,000. That's it. No, there's no, even if you go to find the cheapest system out there, minimum $250,000 to $300,000 gone. You need to have that in your hand to even, just basic security. Forget the remodeling, all that. So we're talking about almost $1 million just to get the facility up and running to where the state wants. So you tell me, the guys already 4 years ago, 3 years ago, a lot of people spend because they paid a lot of consulting guys, which there's another sham going on.
Yeah.
A lot of money. They, of course, it's capitalism, right? Everybody wants to take advantage. So they probably spend 100 grand to, whatever, 50 grand to 100 grand to 200 grand to just get their application in. And they're out of money. So now they got the license. Now they don't know what to do, right? Because a lot of these guys have zero guidance. They thought it's more like a coffee shop. I got the license. I'm going to go open a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever. No, it's not. It's a lot of work. So they go through the document again because they got to follow everything they submitted. That's the key. So they get overwhelmed. So I would say almost 50 to 60% of them are sitting on selling the license, meaning they said, okay, I have it. I'll sell you for $500,000, whatever the cost would be, right? That's what they're sitting on. So they're waiting on until the last minute of the deadline. And which Illinois state is kind of a little iffy about it because I don't know if you're following it, but they keep extending the deadlines too.
Right, I see that.
Frustrating too because I see where they're coming from because they're giving these little guys an opportunity. But again, they got a dry line. Okay, enough is enough, right? These little guys are sometimes greedy too, because you know, if they want to sell for $1 million or $500,000, and the buyer comes in and says, you know what, I'll buy it for $200,000, they will say no, because
and there doesn't have to be someone that was qualifying under social equity. Once they get that license, they can sell it to whoever.
Exactly. There's a lot of provisions out there. That's how we bought another one. So technically, we have two dispensaries right now. So we.
So, I mean, there's a chance that there might be some licensees that got to the process, got to the lottery, just so they can go ahead and sell it off to another company. And who knows if they already intended to go and sell it to someone and had some potential buyer in mind.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what they're all sitting on. So
this is not a good process. This is not a good process. You got 3/4 of license or applicants trying to go and get the licensing done. They're getting held off. And then, like you said here, this is incredible. Like, again, hear this one more time, that there are those licensees, those applicants that will make it through the process. Then they go through. They're not going to go through the loan process. They're not going to go through and build a dispensary. No, they're going to take that license now that they have it. They're going to sell it off to a potential buyer. And that person does not need to be a social equity applicant. That's incredible. But that's a loophole that the state of Illinois did not look at. And maybe they didn't, maybe they're just looking blindly at it and saying, oh no, this process is still going to work. The governor still says that, you know, equity first, most successful cannabis industry in the nation. I mean, there obviously will be some people that will make it through as social equity applicants, but then it's, you've said it already a couple of times, Shankar. You got to have good people around. You have to be business savvy. There's just a thing where this is not where you're going to get government assistance and they're just going to kind of like just, you know, hold your hand as they get you through to go and build a dispensary and start making money off of it. No, it's not going to happen that way. Not to mention, you know, what they offered in terms of, as well, the fund, right? The fund, quote unquote, right, that they have available too. Because you're talking about, okay, financial assistance to social equity cannabis licensees. Okay, they have the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, a social equity loan program offering flexible low-interest loans, holding cannabis licenses to help with the business expenses. Now, it involves a repayment term of over 5 years with $34 million in loans expected to be available in the first year. And there's requirements for that. But now, which bank is holding that? Because what we learned is that in New York, it is a particular bank that's holding on to this fund. It's private public partnership. So exactly. There's a bank that's making money off of this, off the loans that, you know, if you don't make the payments and you don't go ahead and take care of that loan, that you got to be totally business savvy. So for any social equity licensee in any state, heed this warning that you must be business savvy. You just can't come in here and think this is going to be some kind of performative kind of do good kind of thing that the government's going to get to you. They don't do that. They're not the process of giving you free stuff. This is, you still got to pay for it. Now, some of this is going to work for some people, for those that they need the help in terms of the loans. They need in terms of the help to get there because they know how to build the business, but they just need the capital. So that absolutely is very worthwhile and worthy. But this right here, people just don't understand that. And Illinois, I'm telling you, my eyes are open to this. I can't believe this here. And so then the loans you're able to get, qualifying is up to $500,000. And for transportation licensees, $100,000. Adult use cultivation, up to $1 million. I mean, that's only
just to clarify, right? I mean, again, state did it's one of the first in, I think, the nation to do the social. Their intentions were great, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I don't want to.
Oh, no, I'm saying that too, yes. But
the problem is,
we're going to abuse the privilege.
Yeah, no, I agree, right? It's their old saying, right? You cannot put the horse in front of the cart, right? That's what they did.
Right.
You know, they had great intentions, but they didn't, the planning part is, okay, they didn't think about, okay, so these guys, social equity, which, you know, just check the criteria, right? You got to live in this poverty neighborhood or you've been incarcerated or whatever. So how do these guys have $1 million sitting in the bank account? It's impossible. So that's why the loan is, forget it. Even for me, you know, my credit score is good and all this stuff. For us to even get a loan, it's like a loan shark. It's worse. It's worse than those payday loan interest rates. You go to these guys, they say, oh, well, you know, you need this, you need to write your entire life and this and that to get, you know, whatever the loan we want. And we said, you know what, forget it. You know, we don't want to do that. So we just kind of went through investor angle, meaning, you know, friends, family, all this stuff. Like, you know, we kind of, you know, able to raise that money. But that's not the case for a lot of people. You know, the loan is pretty much non-existent. If you're not even, like, you know, in the top tier credit history or you have some, you know, collateral or whatever, forget it. So the program that the state has, that's another joke, because that's really frustrated us, because we thought, okay, let's apply for that loan. At least we'll get, you know, even if 100K or whatever, that works. But no, they didn't handle the program correctly, and which is a big deal, because a lot of these social equity guys already complained to the state, like, hey guys, you gave us the license, but you know, can you just give us a loan? It's not like a free money, right? Just, you know, give us some loan. But they just, unfortunately, they don't talk to each other, as with any government organizations, right? So they got this old Illinois Department of Revenue Cannabis Division, and then you got this economic development or whatever they have. They don't talk to each other. And the sad part is, I don't know, you looked at the record number of sales. Illinois is actually leading the entire country. I think they did $1.6 billion last year. That's what they did. That's insane, right? If you think about it, the money is coming in. Okay, so why are you guys not helping these guys to come on board, right? That's a big mystery. So,
exactly. And I'll tell you, you know, when I'm looking at what other states are around, now, one of the things I want to look at too, while they're doing all this here, Illinois can still again boast, well, we got $1.6 billion in sales last year. That's something. One thing they mentioned in the story from MJ Biz Daily about this was that there was a decrease on out-of-state shoppers. Now, you have Indiana to your east that, you know, they're a dry state. They don't have. And if I'm looking right now, I'm also seeing, what is it, I forget if it's Nebraska or Kansas. I forget what other state to the south you have. You have several states also have no program in either. And you're looking at what can you do right now in terms of trying to, if you want to have, you know, those shoppers coming in, which is, I don't know how much income really comes from that for us, especially like yours. But when you look at that, yeah, Nebraska and Kansas, there we go. And even Wisconsin, if people want to go and make the trip over to go ahead and buy, that's one of the things they're trying to go ahead and work on. But when you look at it right,
finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
There, the potential to go ahead and have, you know, more sales and more people coming in to go ahead and visit your dispensaries. Talk to me about that part in terms of, you know, what money is being still left out there in terms of the out-of-state shoppers not coming through so much. And if there's anything of an illicit market that you also haven't been able to go and counteract with as well.
So, I mean, the out-of-state markets, right? I mean, if you think about it, it's all the borders. So for example, the biggest thing that affected Illinois, which we never really did, is the Missouri one, right? So Missouri borders right there. So Missouri legalized, it's almost a year now, but I think the biggest thing is they had a lower taxes than Illinois, you know, the sales tax for cannabis. So there was a huge articles written up, oh, Illinois is going to go down, blah, 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 around this border. But the bad part is there's no variety, right? So the cannabis shoppers, you know, from our experience, which we are running 2 stores right now, you know, obviously, you know what we're talking about. They like variety, you know, they don't. If you're stuck with only 2 or 3, you know, off-the-shelf, whatever things, you know, they're not going to care for it. They still, we notice people from Missouri coming to Illinois for a variety, crossing the border, coming, buying stores from Illinois. So I think the out-of-state buyers are usually only around the border areas. But if you're in the middle of the state, you know, if it's like a 2-hour drive, nobody's going to do it. So they'll probably go to their dispensary, you know, whatever is closest to them in Illinois. And that's where we are, right? For all of our sales are pretty much, you know, the people living in Decatur, in and out Decatur. And the only time you get out of state is during vacation period. This holiday season was great. I think we had a record December, actually, or January is going to be record as well. because people were traveling in town for family, friends, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, right? They all came down, and we got a lot of reviews too. Hey, I live in Texas, or I live in Colorado, or whatever. Oh, you know, you guys have different variety. I love it. You know, it's great. Prices aren't that bad. You know, that's the feedback we get. So it's not a big, for the dispensaries who operate in the middle of the state, it's not a big deal, you know, whether it's in-state or out-of-state. Pretty much their entire sales is be driven by in-state because, you know, that's what it is. But the border states, they're not, it's the example of the Missouri, right? It didn't affect that much for Illinois. So they're still doing their business as usual. Actually, it's the other way around. Missouri guys are coming in. Actually, Missouri passed a legislation, I think, a couple of months ago,
right,
you know, increasing the taxes too. So it's pretty much on par with Illinois right now, if you think about it. So, because the state said, the county or whatever, the state guy said, oh, you know what? Illinois is making so much money. Why are we shooting ourselves in the foot? Let's make the tax rate the same. So pretty much there's no, if you're right in the Missouri border, or if you live on the Missouri side, and if you want to have a taste of Illinois, there's nothing preventing you to crossing borders. Actually, Illinois is better options than Missouri, if you think about it. So that's going to be the challenge for all these new states that are coming online. Because think about it, right? Cannabis, even though it's legalized, every state needs to produce its own. You cannot go import it from Colorado, or you can, you know, buy it from Illinois. So they still need to have these cultivators come online. That's going to be the big, big, big thing before any dispensary can come online. Even I think it's going to be a huge problem for New Jersey, New York. The more cultivators you have, it's better for the business. It's like, you know, have more options, right? If you have only two or three cultivators in New Jersey or New York or whatever, you're going to have a problem because customers are getting bored pretty right away. Like, there's only like two, three flowers or one pre-roll, which, you know, quality is not great. So you need to have a lot of variety. So Illinois is lucky in that way, meaning it had a lot of 4 to 5 years for all these.
Right.
MOs was like Cresco, Verano, you know, Ascend. Those guys established a nice grow facilities, cultivation across the entire state. So they partnered with a lot of brands from California, East Coast, West Coast, all this stuff in Colorado. So they brought in all these brands that they liked, the Dog Walkers, you know, Stizzy, all these guys. They came in, and now customers are experiencing the variety and, you know, the quality and everything. So that's one thing I would say about Illinois is you cannot beat the quality in Illinois. So.
I love that you made the point right there, because, you know, and I also wanted to go, let you go ahead and be able to justify the fact about where things were and how things came to be with, you have a good head on your shoulders, the fact that you're able to go ahead and, you know, still speak highly and still, you know, look at everything from a positive aspect after years of trying to get this licensing process in place. And for the point of wanting to use this program right now here, just so I can make this point to the listeners, look at this kind of, look at the maze you have to go through here, the hoops, the hurdles, this whole obstacle course. It's like a mental decathlon of what you have to go and do as a social equity applicant to just to take opportunity. Now, think of it if you're a legacy operator trying to get into this space in the same way and the qualifications you need to go and meet. Then there's the process where, and this is the part where all the social equity programs have an issue, is because when you go through this program, you know, there's possibility corruption. We're not saying it's on purpose. We're not saying that it was the intent of the states. No, but this can be abused. That's one thing we can focus on right now. We've learned about that. Then the other part is it's the process itself where you got to be able to have the wherewithal, financially, business savvy, to be able to survive the process to even get to the point where you can open the dispensary, build and open. I mean, that's so much right there. We're learning about that. And it's incredible. That's a lot of work to go through. And I commend you and your team there to be able to go through and be able to go ahead and handle all this here. This was, I can only imagine how much you had to go through just to get to this point. This is painstaking. It's so much time to take on this, but you finally got here. And let's go ahead and talk about the actual spot itself. So Mystic Greens, what can you tell me real quickly about, and that's also a parent company is Industry 65. So real quickly, Mystic Greens, the concept of Mystic Greens and Industry 65 as a whole. Tell us more about that.
Right. So thank you for all the kind words there. Like I said, it started in 2019, with my friend, because I live in Colorado. My friend lives in Illinois. So I missed the opportunity. I'm an entrepreneur by nature. So always look for these new opportunities and kind of, you know, that challenges the trend, right? Meaning, selling cannabis, wow, that's I never heard of that, right?
Right.
It happens only in the United States, right, legally. So, and you can still, you know, run as a business. That's like, oh, wow. So when Colorado legalized it, I really want to get in. But at that time, I was, you know, a little ingrat, a little kid. I was like, you know what? Same thing, right? I need to raise capital, all this stuff. So I didn't have a, you know, stomach for it. When I was following it, and then I met my friend in Illinois, went to college, undergrad together. You know, we are roommates, dorm mates, whatever, mm-hmm. Best friend. So I went and met him for a birthday. He said, hey, you know, Illinois is legalizing. I told him you should do it because, you know, why not? So I said, sure. So the whole thing started, you know, him and the two guys, and then we started going through the application, all this stuff. We did the same thing, you know, we hired an app writer, the same traditional stuff, because like I said, it's new for us, right? Same thing, we forked up stuff. And then the COVID hit, all this stuff, and then we brought in a social equity person as well. We met this amazing vet friend of ours and said, hey, would you be interested for a stake in the company? Plus, you know, you want to be part of this? And she said, sure. So that's kind of the dream team, if you will, the three people joined, and then the local investors and stuff. So that's how we kickstarted it, submitted the application. Oh, actually, we did grow as well. So we want to grow. So luckily, we won the grow license as well. So,
well, let me ask you about that, because I saw you were granted the craft grow license, and back in March when you broke ground.
And yes, exactly.
The thing was, the plan was to get a 30,000 square foot center on the site. Where are you in that right now?
Oh, the shell is done. Actually, last month we completed the shell 100%. So right now, funny thing, agricultural department, because the grow is a different beast. It takes me almost 10 to 50x more capital than your dispensary, you know, piece. So what the state did is they did an extension for another year. So luckily we got that email last month saying, hey, all the existing grow guys can, our cultivators can get another 1 year extension for you to bring online. So we have a little breathing room because, like you said, you know, our capital are tied everywhere. So we it's a good sign in a way. Okay, we got another year to worry about that. So going back to the history, so that's how, you know, we won the dispensary. And then we said, okay, we need to come up with a name. I'm a very creative person by nature. I said, you know what? Come up with a name. We come up with the Mystic Greens. You know, I like dragons and mythology. That's kind of our logo, if you think about, if you look at it. So that's how it all started. So. And then we went with a simple design because the one thing, because we went to California, we toured the cultivators, dispensaries in California, you know, Vegas, been to the biggest 24/7 dispensary in Vegas, all this stuff. So we did a lot of the tour in Colorado. We did a lot of groundwork to kind of understand because the problem there is nobody will tell you the secret sauce. Unfortunately, it's kind of frustrating in this industry. Nobody gives you the insights now. They'll tell you, you do this, you do that, are paying me 50 grand, 100 grand, whatever. It really frustrated me because the knowledge is very sparse, right? Because you can connect the dots, but nobody tells you how much work you need to get to this point or how to figure this out or how to figure that out. The knowledge is non-existent, to be honest with you. But anyways, we did that. And then quickly realized that a lot of these people, you know, when we go to these shows, they charge 2-3 times more than the cost of average retail store build out, because they, as soon as they see cannabis, they slap another 30 to 40% markup on everything, which has really frustrated us.
Because
it's the same thing. The showcase is a showcase. It doesn't matter whether you display bagels or bread or cannabis, right? It's the same thing. Sheet truck is the same sheet truck. It doesn't matter whether you're building it for a coffee shop or a cannabis shop.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with the COO of Indus 365 and also one of the co-owners of Mystic Greens, Shankar Ramakrishnan. It was very interesting that your grow and dispensary location, the town of Harristown, is a population of 1,300 people. And Decatur is your closest city next to it. So building outside of the city, you know, kind of outside of civilization, I mean, I don't know how many traffic lights you probably have in a town like that, but the plan to go ahead and be able to build there, or was it just what was possible to go ahead and do both and have grow and dispensary at the same time, having that proximity? And, you know, how did it work out to go ahead and be able to get, well, obviously you're on highways, US 36 and Highway 72, or yeah. So I saw there's that. So you have you know, it's right off the interstates, but you're also putting the risk of saying, okay, we're not in the city. We're not that foot traffic. We're getting people that are driving through, seeing the billboards going across, and that's how they're finding your shop.
Right. I mean, the, like I said, the biggest thing is, you know, we are the only people there as a dispensary, right? I mean, of course, there's a lot of medical folks who drive an hour down to Springfield, or they go to Peoria. So those are the two biggest cities out of Decatur or Harristown that people were currently going, especially, you know, cancer patients and, you know, PTSD, whatever the issues could be. You know, all those medical guys, you know, unfortunately, they drive a long distance. And we kind of filled that void because we had two places, actually. There's one in Harristown. Actually, there's another town. I forgot the name. And then when we looked into it, Harristown kind of made sense because the county board or the board of Harristown, you know, was welcoming to it. Very nice. And you know what? You know, we bought the land already. They said, hey, can we going to put both this here? Are you guys okay with it? They said, sure. You know, no issues. Go for it, whatever. So they're welcoming to us, and it kind of helped us immensely. But in terms of traffic, again, the word spreads fast. It dispenses. I mean, that's why I tell the people call me all the time now, hey, how do you do this? How do you do this, right? One advantage a dispensary has is it sells for itself, right? You don't have to compete like, oh, there's a grocery store, Walmart, Target, or Safeway, or whatever. But dispensary is dispensary. Everybody knows what's sold in dispensary, right? You don't want to. If you do it right, you know, have a good team, have a good, you know, products, it sells itself. That's what I tell a lot of people. You don't have to overthink it, overcomplicate it. You don't have to do a ton of marketing. People know about it because if you're the only person there or maybe another person there, they all know where the dispensaries are. You know, it's the same, right. You know, there's nothing magic about it. We're going after a niche market, right? It's not like everybody's going to go to the dispensary. Everybody who smokes and they all follow these rules, right? It's legalized and they obviously want to search for a dispensary and then we pop up, they come in and the word spreads out pretty quick. So that's why, you know, every month in our sales, literally went from, you know, 15 to 20%. You know, like I'm not complaining, but we're blessed in the way that it's not slowing anytime down. So that's the beauty about this. So
let's go talk about the website. So Mystic Greens with a Z, by the way, mysticgreenswithaz.com. Full product line. You have the locations in Decatur, they're out just outside of Decatur and Lincoln, Illinois, and a lot of products. So tell me about what you have in terms of the line. Obviously, you have flower, pre-rolls, edibles, drinks, and edibles itself, concentrates, topicals, so much. Wide line, and, you know, obviously you have a affinity with several brands that you have out there that you're also working with as well. Talk to me about those.
So, like I said, we work with all the big guys like Cresco, Verano, and also we are actually giving opportunities to a lot of the social equity cultivators that's coming online. Actually, there's one guy who, you know, went through the same headache as us, right? So social equity, you know, cultivator who actually launching some chocolate products or whatever. So we are launching, are we helping them to put in our store because it's one of the few stores that we are helping them out. We have a lot of brands. The one brand I'm particular about, Shelby Farms, Blues Brothers. So it's the Jeep Belushi. Sure. So actually, I'm proud to say, I think we are the only dispensary in the Midwest that carries Shelby Farms, Blues Brothers line, which I love it. And our customers love it. Every time we bring it in, it's sold out like within like a week, 2 weeks. So they sell in Chicago because it's a small farm. Mr. Belushi runs it, Shelbyville Farms. What else I like? Flowers from Arise. They grow through air. So it's not hydroponics. Forgot the terminology for it. It's so the cannabis that grows only with air. So that's a beautiful technology. It's clean. Flower, people love them. And then I like 93 Boys. They're kind of the street name.
Yeah, a lot of familiar news. I see 1937, Old Pal, Stizzy. There's a lot of names we're very familiar.
Oh, yeah, 1937 is another one. Yeah. They do Stizzy brands. That's the one I was talking to you about. California. It's a pretty big brand in California. They partner with 1937 guys. So we have their vape products. And then Revolution. It's a local to Illinois as well. They're in Delavan in Illinois. So they make all these unique. They want a lot of cannabis cup flowers for competitions. So we carry their line.
Yeah, Wana brands for the edibles. You got Wana brand. That's huge. There you go.
Yeah, we got Wana brand. Legacy is a great one for edibles.
I see you got Wild as well. That's great. Yeah. Quite extensive. Yeah.
Exactly. We pretty much cover all the spectrum. I mean, the flower is pretty much the highest selling one. So one thing we like about our customers is they demand the higher quantity, 7 grams and 14 grams. So we kind of try to carry them. So there's like 2-3 companies that kind of deal within like the bigger size, Cresco's and High Supplies and that kind of company. So we carry those too. So yeah, I mean, like I said, we carry a lot of brand. And in terms of cookies, the one company I was telling about, actually they're going to launch a cake batter flour with THC in it. So you can buy the flour, go home, and bake a cake or cookie or brownie or whatever. So that mix is actually going to go live next week. So yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff coming along.
Well, Shakar, this was a eye-opening experience. And obviously a lot of great work on the products. It's good to go and see you. I got all to this point, you and your team, to get where you are right now. Fascinating story about how you got this dispensary up. And honestly, I didn't know I'd had the chance to go ahead and get such an in-depth look into social equity licensing in Illinois and this lottery system, because I've heard about it. I didn't come across the chance to go ahead and talk about it. So I really appreciate you being so open about this and understanding. And like I said, we're not judging here on the program. I mean, we just need to point out that there are things here that everybody needs to be aware of if you're going to be a part and participate. Like this, these are all things you got to be aware of and understand. So I really appreciate you, Shakar, coming on and talk to us about this. And we've already gone well past 30 minutes. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up. So website again is mysticgreens.com with a Z at the end. And anything else you want to go ahead and just make sure that what can people do to go and continue to follow along with the Industry 65 Studio and what other things you have in plan?
Yeah, so real quick, so we are planning a third location actually. So it'll come online in March. So basically we have two right now, third one. And then I'm starting a consulting group. Actually, we started January 1st. It's called Sour Diesel Group to help people who are the same boat as me, as us, that, you know, don't know what to do, or we will say it as it is, right? I mean, we not want to charge
right
gazillion dollars or whatever. We are, like I said, very, very normal people. You know, we want to tell the truth. So if anybody interested in any other states that want to reach out to us, sourdieselgroup.com. That's the one thing we launched with my partner, Tiffany and Krishna. And then actually a fun thing is we are hosting a 420 event in Central Illinois, the first in history. So the 420 event is usually in Chicago or big cities, but we actually picked up a place last week. So it's going in Lincoln Fairgrounds. It's going to be huge. So 420illinoisfestival.com. It's a placeholder, but you can go check out the website and sign up if you want updates. So yeah, a lot of things planned this year. Super exciting. And like I said, we're excited. So we're blessed and, everything is going well.
Really wonderful. We're going to have you talk to us. And best of luck for all of you out there in Illinois and also with that third dispensary coming in. And really great you're giving out that opportunity for people to go and consult with you, because that kind of insight and advice, you know, after you're listening to this program, you should go ahead and take a listen and see if you can reach out to Shankar and his team, Sour Diesel, and see if they can help you while you get to the process of getting your license as a social equity applicant, whichever state you're in, and what they could do for you. So, again, we're here with Shankar Ramakrishnan, the COO of Industry 65 and co-founder of Mystic Greens in Illinois. Dispensaries again, Harristown and Lincoln, Illinois. Shankar, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast. which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.